Are you tired of a podcast that only entertains you without leaving you with something to think about? Are you looking for a podcast that truly enrich your life? Then Let's Talk is the show for you. Our motto is to make people think after every episode, and we take that mission seriously. Each episode is carefully crafted to provide an insight and ideas to help you live a more fulfilling life. From practical tips for improving your mental and physical health to thought-provoking ideas and discussions on personal growth and development, Let's Talk has something for everyone. Our guests come from a variety of backgrounds and bring wealth of knowledge and experience to the table. We believe that everyone has something to teach, and we are committed to bringing you the best insights, ideas from the wide range of perspective. So if you're ready to start thinking more deeply about your life, how you can make it better, then Let's Talk is the podcast for you. Subscribe today and start enriching your life one thought-provoking episode at a time. Welcome to Let's Talk Podcast. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Let's Talk Podcast, enriching life through a podcast. As always, let me start with a story. This is a story of a person born and raised in the heartland of America, in Kentucky. She grew up as the only Jew in her college. This made her unique, gave her a distinct perspective, and groomed her for a diverse world out there. She's not just a seasoned TV show producer who started her career as an intern with Jerry Springer, late Jerry Springer. He was a famous American journalist, but also an individual who is deeply invested in amplifying voices and sharing inspiring stories. Her first taste of media world began at Purdue, where she kickstarted her journey with the NPR, which is National Public Radio. After gaining invaluable experience from the world of TV and radio, she explored the financial world, bringing her unique perspective to a firm for a brief stint. A journey woman by nature, her career is like a kaleidoscope of rich experience, each unique and insightful. As diverse as her professional life has been, her personal life is rooted in a close-knit family. She's a supermom of four wonderful kids, and she hosts a Better Call Daddy podcast, where she digs deep into the fascinating stories about family dynamics, personal challenges, and power of resilience. In addition to all this, I'm not finished yet. She also runs a company called Megawatts to promote entrepreneurs. An advocate for one-on-one communication, she thrives in intimate settings, but sometimes I think she finds crowd a bit overwhelming. A woman of grit and determination, she gave natural childbirth, a decision inspired by her husband's encouragement. Her strength and courage are truly inspiring and a testament of her character. Always on the move, she lived in many places, adapting and absorbing the flavors of various cultures and communities within the United States. Her life is a storybook filled with vibrant, colorful experiences. Please join me in welcoming this exceptional woman, a dynamo of energy, inspiration, and positive vibes, Rena Friedman Watts.
Wow, that intro is seriously a gift to your guests. That is amazing, a gift to me. I love what you put together. That was so good.
Well, I truly mean with this introduction, actually, when I, as I mentioned, we discussed before preparing this, and you share some of the podcasts. Obviously, I've heard a few of your podcasts as well. But while working on it, I always work on a storyline first. But I was like, she has so much to offer, and she's already done so much that herself, there's a lot of things and anecdotal experience and a story. So I was like, let me just, instead of asking her, tell me about yourself, converting it to the storyline, and then try to unwrap and peel the layers of onion in terms of the story, what you have. So Rena, it's a privilege to have you here and some conversation. Looking forward for this.
Thank you. That really made me feel good. I'm going to say too, I heard you say that one time you were in school and somebody asked you to say, tell me about yourself. And then you got nervous. And then they said, okay, can you write about yourself? And then you got nervous. And I was listening to that episode about how do you write a resume? How do you tell your story? And that is something that I was even thinking after your interview with Brendan and how he gets groups of people who are out of work to support each other and practice telling their story. One thing that I love about interviewing is that is an art too. How do you get the story to unravel? Give an intro like the one you just did. You know, now I want to tell you anything you want to know, right? How do you make people comfortable? How do you build that immediate rapport? That's how people will open up to you. That's how people come on national television for you. That's how people will meet you off the internet and do a live interview with you, having never met you. It's all about how can you mirror, how can you make the other person feel like you're invested and that you really care about them and that you really want to bring value to the audience. If you can do those things, people will open up to you so much more.
That's great. It's good to hear. And I think we will be having some insightful conversation then. Rena, obviously in the story, it's a kind of a nutshell, but you started having some experience as a TV producer, working with Jerry Springer, the late Jerry Springer. And obviously there are a lot of stories which already been there in the podcast and other podcasts as well. But one thing I would like to start from the start, I would say, in your life, being in only Jew child or in minority in terms, and people ask some questions which you may not be comfortable with. How exactly that cultivated your experience and the way you are now?
That's such a tough question, to be honest. Even when you were reading it in the intro, I was like, man, yeah, that was me. And that was something that I wasn't always proud of. And I even feel like some of my kids I see struggling with that now. And I don't even give them a hard time about it because I'm like, they have to decide. I mean, that's something that they were born into. It's something that you can't really deny. I mean, you can ignore it. But I do feel like as I've aged and as I've lived in all of these different places and had all of these different experiences, it is who makes me me. And if you can embrace your weirdness or what makes you different, people like that. That is what makes you stand out. So I've learned that in radio. The more I talk about my family or the experiences that I've had, nobody else has had those exact experiences or those exact family members. The only thing that's going to make you stick out is the fact that I'm a Jew from Kentucky, or that I'm the only Jew at the Passover retreat from Kentucky, or I'm the only Jew at that college, right? That is a differentiator. So if you can make jokes about it. You see even comedians doing it, right? The thing that you don't want to talk about is actually the gift, yes. Is actually the uniqueness factor. So if you can find a way to talk about those things comfortably, they make you memorable. And those are your uniqueness factors.
Completely agree. And I think that's the way how it's strange. I mean, the more you read about the way human behavior, brain science, neuroscience, and all those things work, the things which maybe over the period of time, when we get enlightenment in a way, like it depends again, how much you do self-reflection and think about yourself. But the things which you used to maybe hate or do not like or didn't like in the past, now you're really proud of. As you mentioned, you have a story. And I was reading one book, a very good book, A Story Worthy, if you have read that, which tells about that every individual has his or her story. And the way is, if you just make, I mean, just spend 5 minutes every day to write what exactly happened, what is the whole crux of the day today. And then when you come back, you have so many stories, small stories. Like sometimes people say, oh, I was so busy that I didn't realize how my kids grew up. And when people ask, like, what are the stories? Do you have something like the first time they walk, the first time they got some medals, the first time certificates? Oh, they don't remember. Why? Because those small things, they were not chasing about those small things. They were chasing about the big things. Oh, maybe when my kid comes first in the class, or he's a topper, or in the athlete, if he comes first, then those are some of the things which I remember, but not those process. It's only the end result. So that being said, what's your thought about it? I mean, when you see in the past, grew up at that time, when you were a kid, how you dealt those things, what kind of conversations you had with your parents about the experience you are getting, and what part, I mean, I know that your father has a great way of interpreting, and I really like the way how he provides some perspective towards the end of the podcast. But what at that time, walk us through how exactly the interaction was working and what kind of things you were going through.
Yeah, his perspective has definitely changed too. And even the way I feel like he remembers it versus the way I remember it. But I had a bully in middle school even, and he was just thinking about it in terms of how he would respond to that situation. You know, guys handle things differently than girls, and I was very afraid. And so he told me to wait for it when she was off guard and attack her. You know, he was just like, yeah, Stop letting her do that to you. And I got off at a different bus stop and I walked blocks home. And one time I finally got the guts to yell at her when she was a few blocks away. But when she came running, I was shaking, trying to get my key in the door. And she was pounding the door to come and get me after I yelled at her. And yeah, I didn't face these things head on. I was more of an avoider. I wrote it in a journal, though. I wrote an entire 5-subject notebook. The thing is, my mom was an avoider. My dad was a confronter, and I was somewhere in the middle. And okay. I do think journaling is really important, but if you're going to journal, then you don't want your journal read. You know, yeah, it's kind of a personal thing. One time I did experience, I'll never forget this. I had somebody carve a swastika into my desk in middle school.
Okay.
And another student who was Jewish told her parents, you know, my mom doesn't like to ruffle any feathers. Like I said, she's very non-confrontational. She's like, oh, just let it go. You know, they're kids, they're ignorant. You know what I mean? And my dad was kind of a workaholic, so he didn't really have the time to deal with the school. And this girl who was in my class who told her mom was up in arms. She made a meeting with the school and the school board, and she was involved with the school board. And she was like, absolutely not acceptable for the teacher to ask that student to sit in that chair. I actually got sent out of the class for not wanting to sit in that chair. And yeah, so that teacher was reprimanded, not from my parents, but from another student telling their parents. And I remember that because I was like, wow, your mom's awesome. I was like, that's cool.
So in that perspective, now you are yourself mom. And I mean, God forbid, if those kind of things happen, how would you deal with that, you know, differently or exactly the same? Or what's your perspective now, being a mom yourself?
It's such a dance to know when to speak up, mm-hmm, and when to keep your mouth shut, right? Recently, I have a 10-year-old son, and he's like that happy-go-lucky kid that never gets in trouble. Like, he got all A's, one B, and a D-. And I was like, this kid has never gotten a D-. Like, what's going on in that class, right? And so I had some communication with the teacher. I didn't feel like I was really getting good communication there. And I decided to make a meeting with the principal because he's not that kid. Like, he's literally the kid that gets teachers to stop me in the hall and thank me for having such a sweet kid. And so I did make a meeting with the principal, and then she was able to kind of communicate with the teacher. And, you know, the teacher isn't even coming back next year, but I felt like I needed to stick up for him just so he saw me doing it, because he's the kid that'll never stick up for himself. And I have a bit of that in me. So it was just, I wanted him to see his mom going to bat for him. It wasn't even about the grade. It was like, hey, she's not seeing you in the right light. What's going on here? There's obviously a breakdown in the communication. Let me show you how to handle this better.
Yeah, that's great. So as you mentioned, communication. So let's again go back in the days when you started working on the Purdue and getting into the radio and all. How you develop that communication skills, is it something you always been born with? I mean, some people are born communicator, or you struggled, or you learn, and you were like, okay, this is the way, because now you are an awesome communicator, storyteller. How exactly was that? Because the listeners, obviously, I would like to stress more on the process, right? People sometimes assume that, oh, it's easy for them. But
oh, man.
Is it easy for you?
If you saw me in my recording booth, it would be comedy material. Even sometimes when I'm doing a bit for the radio, I am such a perfectionist. I've really had to get over the perfectionism thing. I will record a 30-second spot 4 times so it feels conversational, so it has high energy, so it sounds natural, so it doesn't sound like I'm reading. It takes so much grind and grit. I mean, every mistake I make, I start doing some arm moves, you know? I'm just like, you know, yeah. doing my reps. Every mistake I make, that's what I say to myself. I'm like, doing the reps. This is going to make me better. This is going to make me a better communicator. And it started at the radio station. You know, you're in this little booth and they give you this cool equipment and you learn how to record yourself. You learn how to bring in the music under you. You know, there's an element of creativity there, right? So the more times you do it, the better you get at it. The more times you interview, the better you get at it. The more you listen to people's podcasts, the more research you do, the more intros you do. I'm going to give you some credit right now because I still get nervous doing intros in front of people. So even though I might do a temporary intro in the conversation, I record that intro 3 or 4 times by myself before I air it and I put the better intro in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so as you mentioned that you have your own way to cope in terms of having nervousness or everyone, I mean, you have your own process of trying to redo things. But why radio?
Why radio?
Yeah.
Because it's a more intimate setting. And like you mentioned in the intro, big stages still freak me out. It's some people, they get so lit up by that. My dad is a complete ham. He loves attention. But for me, it's the art of doing it. I want what I say to be precise. I want to use less filler words. I want to ask the questions that bring the best answers. I want to have inflection in my voice and excitement, right? So
yeah,
the radio interview environment I feel more comfortable in. I'm able to more be myself when it's an intimate setting. Even for a television show, if there's 5 people in the room versus a live audience, I would do better. That's actually even why I think when I worked on a live television show, I was able to kind of prepare the guest to tune out the audience, because I role played with them so much before they got out there. They knew the questions that were coming. They knew how it was going to unfold. I played the other person so we could practice. And it's like, if you know what you're getting into and you know the situation, you're able to kind of stay in your role.
Yeah, which is interesting because as you mentioned that you prepare, you know the questions. And with all disclosure, in our case, you don't know any questions. Again, because on the other side, I'll try to see that when we do not have any questions, I mean, in this setup, one of the school of thought is, then you try to get the answers which are not prepared, and you try to be more yourself in that perspective. Obviously, there may be some arguments about it, but generally, you know that we generally do not discuss what kind of questions, maybe a direction, but not exact questions. But I think being a natural storyteller now, in your case, you have so much to offer at this time. So that's great. So you mentioned about why radio, and then you get obviously the intimate setting, reaching out or having conversation, preparation to the TV shows. And then while you were doing that, maybe then you expanded your family, you met your husband. And I think I was reading one time that your husband also tried to get out in the mountains or something for some time, which gave him a perspective about self-reflection in life. So how exactly that turned out? Is it something you influenced him, or he was like that from the starting, and that maybe struck a chord between both of
you? Oh, he's such a seeker. It's so interesting. Yeah, he studied all kinds of religions, and he just tried to live on no mountain and have no material things, and done all kinds of spiritual searching. Yeah, he introduced that actually into my life. It's interesting. He was doing that, and I was living in LA and trying to make the most money and get my name in the credits and be totally self-absorbed. We are definitely like yin and yang.
So that is interesting. So you are in LA, you are trying to make a name for yourself, and then you met a guy who's a seeker who doesn't like material things. So how exactly you guys, I mean, what basically said that, okay, he's the guy, or he said he's the girl?
Yeah, he was so different. Yeah, he was so different than other guys in LA that I had been dating. You know, sometimes when you meet somebody that's so different than what you're currently doing, it definitely sticks out. It felt spiritual. And at that time, I was kind of dabbling too. I had come out of another engagement. And then after that engagement, I took a year and a half off from dating, which is crazy when you're 25 in the best shape of your life, at the top of your career. I took a complete pause. I was like, how did I get into that situation? I started doing yoga. I started going on walks. I stopped smoking. I got in better shape. I took a job that I loved. I actually was working third shift on Nanny 911. And I decided to take a trip to Israel. It was a singles trip to Israel. And yeah, and I went on this trip and started thinking about God and started thinking about marriage. And I felt pressure from my family too to kind of settle down. And at that point, I was like, okay, I've had my name in the credits. I've lived on my own, stood on my own two feet, done what I set out to do. What's the next chapter, right? I'm still feeling unfulfilled. So I went on this trip and I connected with, you know, other Jewish people from all over, and even people that had had successful careers that were still also seeking and looking for some sort of spiritual fulfillment. And something in me turned where I was like, I need that. And I started unplugging one day a week. And I have kept this up. This is insane, for like almost 17 years. Where, we do Sabbath in our own way. But one thing that really appealed to me about that lifestyle, and now I just can't live without it, is unplugging from the rest of the world to do something different than the rest of your week, right? Eat food that you don't normally prepare something nicer, sit and actually enjoy each other's company. You've got to cut out time for that. And I wanted that in my next chapter, right? And it's so important for kids too. Like, you're in the hustle and bustle of life, especially with four kids, right? When do we actually all sit down as a family and hear about each other's week? So now my kids have seen this all growing up, that we buy special foods that we don't eat the rest of the week. I even ask them, is there anything special that you want for Shabbos dinner? We all unplug, and that is really hard because all these kids are so addicted to the internet. I'm so addicted to the internet. My husband's on the computer all day. He's a software developer, right? We all slow down. We all appreciate being together. We all eat special food and we don't do what we do the rest of the week. So we don't do dishes. We don't watch TV. We might take a walk to the park. We get into nature. Sometimes the kids say, I'm bored. I'm like, that's healthy. That's wonderful. You need to be bored. We need time for that. And we've been doing that our entire marriage.
That's great. I think there's a lot of things to unwrap what you just mentioned. And let me just try to pick one point to get started. So you mentioned at the age of 25, you left a lot of things to seek. Now, this is something which should be so inherent and obvious that you should seek what you're looking for. Still, people spend their whole life in the whole hustles and bustles and try to fit in the society that they'd never know. And this is, I think, one of the most popular regrets at the deathbed. A lot of people ask, like, they never followed what they really loved about. Why is it so? What's your perspective? What propelled you at the age of 25? Is it because of your, the connections, your friends, your family, or you were just like that? Or what's your advice to the people in that perspective?
I just want to throw a little something in there that goes along with this. I asked a question on Twitter this week that went crazy. I said, how do you build confidence? And the simplest answer was the truth. Somebody said, learn. Yes. How do you build confidence? You figure out what your gifts are. You figure out what turns you on. You figure out what you were sent here to do, right? And if you're not continually reading books, continually connecting with new people, going a different path, doing something out of the conventional, then you're going to be unfulfilled. You're going to be unfulfilled. Amazing. And I was unfulfilled, yeah. Even though I had worked on tons of television shows. I had interviewed with all of these crazy people. I had been in the field. I had accomplished so many things that I wanted to accomplish. I felt empty still. And I'm like, why? Because there were aspects of my life that I wasn't working on that I needed to, right? I needed a relationship with the source, the person who sent me here, however I got here, right? I needed to be asking bigger questions, right? What is my legacy? Who am I carrying the torch on for? And you know what? My dad too, I'm going to be honest. He always said, go after your gifts. Like, he encouraged me to do the music classes, do the modeling classes, try things, figure out what you like, what you don't like, right? And yeah. If you're feeling stuck, you need to go back to what brings you joy. Where is the joy in your day? If you have no joy in your day, you better go find some.
That's great perspective. And I totally agree that obviously listening to this, people might take some quick judgment that, oh yeah, maybe Irina's father, but my father is not like that. But again, now the question is, what about your mother? What about your siblings? What about your friends? And what about maybe even going to an extent of hiring a good coach? I mean, even one of the most, I mean, if you talk about Michael Jordan, right? He also had a coach. Now the question is, he's one of the greatest, sports person of all time, but he still have a coach. So it doesn't matter that in what kind of journey in your life, you need someone who maybe work as a torchbearer and kind of guide you. But at the same time, as you mentioned, that first you have to look within before looking outside. And this itself is so simple, but that's the way the life is. I think simplicity is very complex to achieve. Creating those complexities, sometimes people, I mean, in our day-to-day job as well, people make it so much complex. When asked a simple questions, it becomes complex to answer.
I was mind blown that when I said, how do you gain confidence?
Yeah.
Somebody gave me a one word response that was so accurate. Learn.
Learn.
That's exactly. It. What are you doing daily to mm-hmm. learn something? If you continue to do that, you will bring value into this world and into your life. That's it. Also, don't take things for granted. What can you be appreciative of? Who can you help out? If you're feeling down, try those things. Like, what can you appreciate? That you have a roof over your head, that you have wonderful food to eat, that you have something on the calendar to look forward to. And if you don't have something on the calendar to look forward to, figure out something to put on your calendar to look forward to. Yesterday, I interviewed a girl who found me on Twitter. She told me that her dad's name was Elvis and that she was named Shirley. When they moved here from China, her dad was an Elvis memorabilia collector. And so he renamed himself Elvis, and then he named her Shirley, like Shirley and Temple, Shirley Temple, so that they could be Elvis and Shirley. And now she's a collector of all things Shirley, named Shirley. And she developed an app for collectors of rare items. So she's married her art of collecting things and art and technology, and she's brought together this community of rare collectors. You can create a community around so many different things, around your love of Elvis things, around your love of plants, around your love of stamp collecting, around your love of chess. I've interviewed a chess master that teaches chess now to 80 schools across the U.S. There's so many different ways to be entrepreneurial or turn what you love into a business. This girl who let me rent her studio yesterday, she was like, I have somebody, Rena, that wants me to help them set up their podcasting studio. I said, okay. And she's like, I need help on pricing that. How have you priced your services? I'm like, we can talk about that. You know, I can now coach her on how to set up packages, right? And there's so many levels of setting up your service too, right? Do they want handholding? Do they want you to be there during the interview? Do they want you to create clips after? Do they just want you to set it up and be gone? Do they need help on figuring out what size SD card? Do they need you to check the audio levels? Do they need camera work as well? Right? There's
exactly. Yeah, so many things happens. And I mean, just interviewing people or having these conversations makes such a big impact on both the side of the aisle, right? As you mentioned now, I think you have taken so many interviews and talked to so many people out there. I think you can go on and on in each of the podcasts, what are the things. And that's what makes life more meaningful and intentional, as you mentioned, that try to go on what you like. So in the whole journey of your podcast, so let's go from, obviously, you're married, you have kids. But at the same time, you started some pandemic, a Better Call Daddy podcast, and where you take that perspective from your daddy. How exactly that idea came into the existence? And considering like when people try to be creative, help us walk through that process. Like why exactly you have that format?
Well, I really do call my dad every day. So it was something that was in my life and I was able to see it. So part of it is just having your eyes wide open, right? What are you currently doing? What are you currently excited about? I'm like, dude, my dad gives great advice and I want to share that with the world. And then, you know, I know something that's very important in my family is legacy, right? So not only am I helping my dad carry on his legacy, right? But I'm creating a legacy of my own by putting together this portfolio of valuable stories and information. And let me tell you something else so cool from doing this. This guy who was on my podcast, he was one of my most listened to episodes, Johnny Spoiler. And he told me that Spotify just invited him to London. And I was like, wow, I know a reporter in London. Are you looking to do press while you're there? So boom, it's like by talking to people all over the world, you are helping shine your light into different places. And that is what having your own platform is about. How many people can you touch? How many lives can you impact in a positive way? That is what you're sent here to do. How many people can you be a light in the darkness for?
Yeah, that's so good. Actually, that reminds me of my journey as well. When I started the podcast, it was not even in my distant dream, actually. And my parents back in India, they were surprised. Like, you didn't show anything which would be like, maybe this guy become in front of the TV or in front of now, because it's a kind of YouTube is a kind of a TV, right? So how exactly you develop? And I was like, I don't know. I was just working with some of my internal projects in my company. And then in order to enhance that project and visibility for more people to adopt, I started interviewing people who are already successful in that particular field. And then people were like, you asked some questions without having preparation and I felt at ease and all. Why didn't you try podcasting? I was like, okay, I didn't know that. So, I mean, it's just like, as you mentioned, you and your husband and everyone is kind of like seeking few things. Sometimes you discover something which really get to that path. And now I was like, this is something now I have to do forever because I get to know people, always a different perspective. And as you mentioned, a strong networking, a person get to something and you don't know that if you can help him or her in a way that really provides some kind of assistance. So that's great from that perspective. So let's get into maybe one of the last questions, and then we can get into one of my top three questions, which I ask generally. And maybe it's a kind of a deep question. What right now, everything as you're doing, you're running megawatts and entrepreneurial. I know I can keep talking and there are so many things, but when the things goes right, obviously you may have some challenges, not like everyone has a perfect life, right? What is one of the biggest fears in your life at this point?
Still probably public speaking. Although okay. Yesterday too, I had a talent manager reach out to me and ask me if I would want to voice over a book. I mean, I never would have thought that opportunity would come my way, right? And I was just like, what's the turnaround time? You know, because then my perfectionism kicks in. And he was like, it's 150 pages. I was like, yeah, but then I'm thinking about how long my radio takes me. You know, sometimes I do 8 breaks an hour and I do 5-hour shift. It's not 5 hours that it takes me, right? Because each bit that I do, I want it to be creative and I want it to sound natural and I do multiple takes. So I was like, 150 page book. Oh my God. Like that would honestly take me weeks because I would want it to sound fluid. I would definitely do multiple takes. I would want to get into character. I've never done it before. I would want to get second opinions on whether other people thought I sounded good or maybe get some coaching along the way, right? So there's a lot of factors. So I would say there's a fear right there. You know, I could say, wow, what an awesome opportunity. And there's money on the table and this guy sees my talent. Yes, I'll do that. And some people would. My dad probably would. He might bargain up the price a little bit, but he would take the opportunity. I've had opportunities come my way that seem like amazing opportunities that I felt like it wasn't the right time. Although there have been some opportunities that have come my way that I am like, okay, this is definitely from God. This never happens. I'm saying yes. So my biggest fear, I still think, is just being fully ready to take any of these crazy opportunities that come my way.
I think that's so good. Basically, your biggest fear is one of your biggest strengths as well. Right? And I can so relate because every interview I have my anxieties as well. If we do something wrong or if I kind of do something like this, I try to reduce my ums, which I was had that in the past as well. I'm not perfect, but that's the way it is, right? So I can so relate that these are one of the fears which you live every day because I did one of a live show solo, which was one of the most scariest thing on 5 platforms on some of the sensitive topics. And people ping me back that, are you trying to create your own TV channel like freedom of expression, speech, and all those kind of, I said, I don't know. I'm not getting into that. I'm just trying to reflect something which I think and then asking right questions because my personal philosophy is that I don't want to give people, and this is like in podcasts as well, a solution, but a direction. Find your solutions because if every individual find their own solutions, that is the solution they really go by it rather than someone telling them. So let them give the
direction. Good. That is so good. I actually can relate that a little bit to, I got a keynote opportunity and it was a paid opportunity and it was a friend recommended me who's in the industry and I wanted to make her look good, right?
Yeah.
I practiced for my Toastmasters group. I got people who had been on my show as coaches. I was like, hey, you know, can you listen to my speech? I performed that thing. I can't tell you how many times. I changed the intro. I changed it so many times. I kept second guessing myself to death. And then I was like, how is this story going to best unfold the way that I naturally want to tell it?
Yes.
Nobody else can tell you how to tell your story.
That's so true.
And once I figured that out, it started sounding a whole lot better. I was like, okay, oh my God, you know, this person gave me his format. This person gave me this outline. This person told me I should start it with this. And then I'm like, how? Even my husband, I was like, how, you know, he's heard me practicing it over and over. I was like, how do you think I should tell my story? And he's like, it has to feel like your story. You have to figure out your solution. Nobody can do it for you. You can get all the advice in the world, and you've still got to make it yours.
Exactly. You have to figure out your own solutions. I think that's a great way to put it. So let's get to the last segment here, which three questions I ask all of my guests here. In terms of, because you're running a company, you're running these shows, you're doing a lot of other stuff, as you mentioned, people are approaching. So basically, you are into a leadership role. And when you say leadership, is not always leading the people, but leading yourself as well. So that being said, how would you summarize leadership in one word?
Patience. It's something that I work on, I pray for. I think that you have to give your people patience. You have to give your children patience. You have to give yourself patience. That's a huge lesson that I've learned even from being a mother. I think that that's the most important thing in leadership.
That's so true in the world of instant gratification, where delayed gratification is so expensive these days. So that's a great way to put patience. So the next question is, any favorite book, podcast, or anything which you religiously follow or would like to recommend people based on your journey or the things which we have discussed today?
So many. Oh my gosh. I've gotten really into memoirs lately, but I'm going to say a friend of mine's podcast, Discover More, is really interesting because he interviews other therapists, forensic psychologists, all the way down to exorcists. And it really makes me think. It's a show for independent thinkers by independent thinkers. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I've actually reached out to him. Benoit Kim is the host of that show and wanted some of his guests because he's a fantastic interviewer. He himself is a therapist. I like the way that he interviews. I like the way that he thinks. And it's encouraged me to go a different direction as far as some of the guests that I've now wanted.
That's great. Discover More, right? That's the name of the podcast. And any book?
Oh, I love God Said What?
Okay.
By Miriam Feldman. It is a memoir. Mm-hmm. She talks about growing up as an atheist, not really wanting to be Jewish. It's really so similar to my story in a lot of ways. And she fights it. You know, she even went to Germany to try to find people who were involved in the Holocaust. And she's like, why can't we all get along, you know? But it was like, once she accepted her Jewishness, and once she, like we were talking about, realized that is who she is and you can't shake it, whether you try to hide it or not, it became a beautiful part of her story. So that book was really influential. I read every page. I'll probably read it twice. And I love books like that. It was really well written. And another memoir that I recently read was Available As Is. This one was really interesting by Debbie Weiss, another Jewish lady. And it's so interesting too. I just want to say this. My podcast has taken a lot of twists and turns that I never would have expected. I never would have expected that I would be a bridge for Jews from all walks of life. And also I wouldn't have expected all of these other people from other religions and cultures that also came to me, and they liked me questioning all these things that I've been taught and that I'm willing to read about other religions and read other books. And so I've just had so many interesting guests come my way. So this Available As Is book is, she lost her mother at a young age, so her dad was widowed. And then she lost her husband at a young age, so she shared wow. widowhood with her dad. She's like, oh my God, is this genetic? Like, but it's interesting, you know, when you had the love of your life and you married somebody young and you had all of these great years together, and now who are you when that person dies, right? So it was a self-discovery book of figuring out who she was and what she wanted, and did she want someone like her husband, and could she talk about this happy marriage that she had? Should she date widows? Should she date divorcees? Should she even date? Maybe she should just pause. And it was another book of seeking, which I really appreciated the way that she reflected on what she was going through.
Perfect. That's great. And that's a great recommendation. Last question would be, any one advice from your mentor, which really sticks around in your life, which in case when you have downs specifically in your life, you always remember that advice, which helps you to sail through those tough times?
Well, I have to say that Benoit Kim, this other podcaster that I shouted out earlier, he and I have become friends through interviewing each other. Like yesterday, he said a really good piece of advice. He said, is what you're going through right now going to matter in 4 years? Is what you are stressed out over and giving all of this headspace to going to matter in 4 years? That is such a good piece of advice.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, well.
I really love that. Yeah. And then I just want to say something that I love about my dad is that a lot of parents feel like when you turn 18, you're done, right? Yeah. My dad said that your job is never done as a parent. And I hope that I can carry that on. Your job is never done. The door is never shut. There's nothing that you can't talk to me about. I'm always going to love you. I think that that is a better approach.
Amazing. So basically he's following what he's preaching. So that's the way it is. So that's great, Rena. I think we had a great conversation. I could have gone on and on because I have a lot of questions, but maybe we can save it for some other time. So that being said, one last thing is, if people would like to reach out to you or connect with you, what are the different mediums you would kind of suggest here?
BetterCallDaddy.com. Mm-hmm. I recently won a contest from Namecheap and they revamped my website. So I would love for you to check that out and connect with me there.
Absolutely.
Also LinkedIn, Facebook, all of those. I'm Rena Friedman Watts, and Twitter, I'm Rena with two E's.
Okay, that's great. So Rena, again, thank you so much for providing your valuable time, having this conversation, and hopefully enlightening our audience for the things, amazing things that you mentioned. So thank you again.
So Rob, you are making an amazing difference in this world, and keep shining your light. You are a fantastic host.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks. We hope you enjoyed our show today. If you have any thoughts or questions, feel free to reach out to us on social media or leave a comment. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And if you find value in our conversation today, we would be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a rating, reviews, or comments. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we will be back with another episode next week. Till then, keep the conversation going. Let's talk.